Good morning, friends. A big welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Broadcast. It's a Sunday, and it's one of those days when God speaks into our hearts. I believe that God has been speaking throughout the week, but it's one of the days that we come together as a family of believers and just hear God speak to us. We'll get straight into the Word of God, and the topic for today is inviting a search. It will make sense as we go into the notes. Praise God. Friends, the Word of God encourages us to come before God, to bring our bodies, our strength, but most importantly, God is looking for our hearts. And I'd like to capture it using the words of the psalmist from the book of Psalms 139, verse 23 to 24. Inviting a search. And this is the prayer of the psalmist. He says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, Psalms 139 is one of my favorite psalms because I believe that in this chapter, David captures the greatness of God very well. He had a revelation of the greatness of God, the creation, how God created you and me, and how God planned for our lives, and how God sees everything and understands every detail about our lives. So David was in a good space, and he, after appreciating God about creating us, how God knitted us in the wombs of our mothers, how, you know, he uses good words to describe the creation. He describes how we cannot run away from God and how God understands our thoughts. So he's running with a great revelation. But in the middle of that revelation, in Psalms 20, verse 23 to 24, he stops and he says, "Search me, God." Because friends, the scriptures advises us that sometimes when you feel you are strong and you are standing, be careful lest you fall. And David did that here, and he stops and he asks God to search him. Now, if you compare that to Psalms 51, where David was in a very bad space, because in Psalms 51, David had committed adultery. David had just killed the husband of the woman that he committed adultery with. And the prayer there is different, because David is seeking God for forgiveness. He's seeking God for mercy, because it was clear that he had sinned before God. But here is in a very good space. There is nothing wrong to point at here. He's just running with revelation, but he stops. He makes a deliberate, a conscious decision to ask God to search his heart. Praise God. And one of those places where David describes the greatness of God is in Psalms 139, verse 2 to 4. Where he says, "You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my words. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." Just describing the greatness of God and how much God understands about us. But yet he invites God for a search. Praise God. You see, friends, the people that we call backsliders, or the people that slack back, it just doesn't happen one day. They wake up in the morning and they say, "I'm dropping this thing." Sometimes it begins from a place where they can't even put a finger on what went wrong, because there are always blind spots. You see, friends, God has put mechanisms in the Word of God to show us the way and to show us what is wrong. That is why the Bible says the Word of God is like a mirror in front of us, because it shows us what is wrong and it shows us what is right. So when we take the Word of God and we read the Word of God, it's like looking in the mirror and checking what is wrong and what is right. And one of those places, just to give an example that we can look at, is the book of Galatians chapter 5. In verse 19, it says, "The acts of the flesh are obvious." So friends, I want you to think driving. Sometimes when you're driving, we have two mirrors. We have the rear view mirror. And when we can use the mirrors to check if there's any danger. And it can show you the obvious cases. But there are places where the mirrors will not help you. You're going to have to pull your head and check to make sure that there's no danger. Those are blind spots. But there are those obvious moments that you can just look in the mirror and see that there's danger that is coming. So the Bible in Acts says the acts of the flesh are obvious. And it mentions them. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. It means there are others that are not listed here. And those falls under the blind spot. And that's why God gave us the Holy Spirit, to show us the like. So there are those ones that are obvious. So if I go to the Word of God and I see selfish ambitions, and I see selfish ambitions in my heart, there's no need for me to seek a revelation, because it's obvious. The Bible says this is the act of the flesh. It's obvious. But there are others that falls under and the like. And those become the blind spot. It says, "I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." And verse 22, we are still looking into the mirror, friends. Verse 22 says the following: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." So those are obvious, very clear, well articulated. So we can look at that as though we are looking in the mirror and say, "I see selfish ambition. I see sexual immorality. I see danger. If I continue on this path, I will die spiritually." But those ones that falls under and the like, we need to invite from time to time. We need to invite a search so that God can show us the blind spots. Praise God. We need to pull that head and say, "God, I see the ones that are obvious, but there are those ones that I can't see. Please, Lord, search my heart." Praise God. Now, friends, there are a few things that might stop us from inviting a search. In fact, there are many things, but I would like to mention few, if not two. And one of those things is deception. And in the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 7 to 8, says the following: "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we are fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." Now, the following sentence is very important. It says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Now, friends, the word deception means we believe a lie to be true. And one of those lies that we can believe to be true is when we say we are without sin. Because when we say that, friends, we see no need to confess. And we see no need to seek for God's forgiveness. We see no need to invite him for a search because we are living a lie where we believe everything is okay with me. And normally when that happens, friends, what we do is we point fingers at them. Everything is wrong with them except me. Everything is okay with me. And friends, when we live our lives like that, the Bible says we are living a lie because we see no need to invite God into our space. We see no need to invite God to search our hearts and show us those blind spots. We can see the obvious, but there are those ones that we cannot see. And that's where we need God the most, friends. And friends, there's another important thing that the Word of God mentions there. It says, we are fellowship with one another. When we walk in the light. So friends, one of the signs that things are not okay is when we stop enjoying fellowship. Because the Bible says, but if we walk in the light, as is in the light, we are fellowship with one another. So friends, the moment you begin to feel uncomfortable to be in fellowship with the believers, that might be a sign that there's a blind spot. There's something that is cooking underneath that you cannot see with the naked eye. Because fellowship is part of walking in the light. Fellowship with one another. And then the Bible continues by saying, and then the blood of his son purifies us from all sin. So we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and sometimes in God's wisdom, that's where we begin to see our weaknesses as we fellowship with one another. And God shows us as he searches our hearts, and as we come to him, then the Bible says he purifies us from all sins. The second thing, friends, that might stop us from seeking or inviting the search is hardened hearts. And sometimes there are reasons for people to have hardened hearts. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible speaks about teachings and it says the following. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars, whose conscience have been seared as with a hot iron. Friends, to have a conscience seared is getting to a place where your heart becomes numb to the truth. And sometimes false teachings. And you see, friends, that's why we have to be very careful, because we are living in the time of information. There's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of ideologies out there. So much so that if we feed our minds, sometimes we begin to believe the lies to be the truth. And when we get to a place where we begin to believe the lies to become the truth, we become numb to the truth. Praise God. Where everything is justified. We live in the realm where there are no absolutes. Everything is explained and justified. So we get to a place where, you know, you can commit adultery, you can commit fornication and not feel anything, because everything is now simplified, everything is now explained, and our hearts become numb to the truth. And this is also connected to deception, because we believe a lie and the lie has become the truth. Praise God. In conclusion, friends, the other thing that might stop us from inviting a search is condemnation. And the enemy rides on condemnation, and he loves to ride on condemnation, because then it pushes us in a place where we feel so condemned and worthy to come before God. And the enemy just fans that, and he just fans that, and we feel unworthy, condemned, and useless, and we feel like there's no need for us to come before God, even to invite him in our space, because it feels so, so dark. But Romans 8 verse 1 to 2 says the following. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Friends, as you listen to me this morning, the Bible says there's no condemnation reserved for you. Praise God. If you are in Christ, in that space where it's dark, you feel it's dark, you feel there's no way out, the Bible says there's no condemnation. Why? Because Christ has set you free. And there's forgiveness that awaits you. As long as we acknowledge our sin, as long as we come before Him and say, search my heart. And when He shows us we are willing to walk in the light, then the Bible says the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us. Have a blessed day. And I encourage you, friends, invite God into your space, especially when you're feeling strong, especially when you're feeling like you're standing, you have a revelation, everything is going well. That is the time to be deliberate, to be intentional, and invite God for a search. God bless you and have a good week.